Welcome to Boston's Best of Metro West podcast, where you go behind the scenes with financial planner Mark Condon as he asks industry-leading experts in the Metro West area of Massachusetts to talk about their businesses. Mark will find out what sets these companies apart from their competition and how they rose above the inevitable challenges they faced along the way to their ultimate success. And now, here's your host, Mark Condon.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to episode 21 of Boston's Best of Metro West podcast. The goal of this podcast is to highlight businesses in the Metro West area of Massachusetts. Now that we're on episode 21, we are finally able to drink. And because of that, my guest on today's podcast is Naveen Pawar, co-founder of the Mighty Squirrel Brewing Company in Waltham. They are located at 411 Waverly Oaks Road and have been in business since 2013. The gorgeous brewery itself opened in December of 2018. In this episode, we talk in depth about how Naveen and his co-founder, Henry Manis, shared an apartment wall next door to each other in California, where they started home brewing. With the traditional light beers having such a huge share of the beer industry, Naveen and Henry were looking for something that differentiated themselves. At the time, that meant adding protein in their early beers, which helped them stand out. We also talk about the moment they decided to go all in on entrepreneurship and starting their own company. They knew there was a high chance of failure, but they had the go big or go home mentality. They focus on creating beautiful liquids with imagination combined from all their employees to come up with beer flavors. The demand for their famous cloud candy, a double dry hopped New England IPA, is so big, they're always fighting to supply enough for the customers. And be sure to listen to the end, as Naveen shares how he appreciates the little things, like small getaways with his family, what's continued to keep his drive going throughout the ups and downs of running your own business, and how he defines success in any given year. And so, with that introduction, I hope you enjoy this episode of Boston's Best of Metro West. Good morning, Naveen. This week, I have Naveen Pawar. He is the co-owner of the Mighty Squirrel in Waltham. How you doing, man?
Been good, Mark. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to have you guys on. Before, you know, we were chatting before we recorded, and I was there with my wife and a couple of friends probably about a month or two ago. And we were just blown away by the outdoor setting that you guys have. You guys, you know, we can get into that for sure, but you guys have a gorgeous outdoor setting, and it's really nice to be a part of that.
Thank you so much for the feedback. I appreciate that. Yeah, like it's been, especially in times like this right now in the pandemic, right? You got to make sure that you can design a space which is beautiful and safe together, right? So that Absolutely. Was a philosophy we had.
That's awesome, man. Before we get into the Mighty Squirrel itself and, you know, what's going on today, because that gets enough coverage as it is. You know, tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, where did you grow up around here? Like, you know, tell us a little story about yourself.
Yeah, so, actually, I didn't grow up here. Like, as you can see from my accent, I'm from India, actually. So I grew up in India. Father was in Air Force. So we were all over the place in India, and did my bachelor's back home. And then once I finished my bachelor's in polymer technology, I had a chance to move to U.S. To do my master's. And then I came over based on a scholarship. I came over to U.S. scholarship from the U.S. DOT and also from Walmart and Tyson Group. So they brought me on for a scholarship and came and did my master's in supply chain logistics and operations research here. And then, yeah, that's my story. So like,
that's awesome, man. That's awesome. When did you move? How old were you when you moved here? So you were 18 or so, or?
No, 2021, actually. I was I'd finished my bachelor's back home, so I came up for a master's, so I was 21.
Right. Yeah. Okay. How did you get into co-founding a brewery? Did you always want to get into the brewery space? Like, how did that come about?
Well, actually, it was not so much about the brewery space in particular. Actually, I think it's more about the fact that we were also I was telling you about a college. I did my college back in Arkansas. Then I moved on to what I call orthopedics. I was in Memphis, Tennessee, and then I moved to what I call California. It was in San Diego, actually, in 2010. And one of my colleagues was Henry Manis, who's my co-founder right now. Yeah. He was the first day in the office. Actually, he's like, "Hey, good morning. How are you doing?" I'm like, "Doing good." He said, "Let's go for tennis, actually, right?" So, we went for tennis, actually, and had some beers. And within a few hours, we both knew that we were going to work together on something, actually, right? We both had similar entrepreneurial spirit, similar values, similar ethos. We're going to work on something together, but we don't know what's going to be, right, at that moment. Of course, living in San Diego, as you can imagine, it's a mecca for craft breweries, actually. There's so many craft breweries. This is back in the day, this is back in 2011, 2012, right? Within like 15 miles from our place, or 15, 20 miles from our house, we had like close to like 9,500 breweries at that time. So we have craft beers was a big part of our daily life, actually. And yeah, like at that time, we got a unique idea for a unique beer and we started from there. So yeah.
That's interesting. So how did you, I mean, did you guys know how to brew beer when you came up with the unique beer that you thought of on your own? Or how'd you go about that?
Yeah, so actually the idea which came out, actually, we were pretty active. We used to go for like, you know, runs or playing tennis together. And then playing tennis, actually, what do you do with the friends? You go to a bar and you have a couple of beers and a sandwich, right? Actually, at that time, actually, you're like, hey, listen, it just hit us. Actually, you know, everybody's trying to go for what you call more health conscious food and drinks, you know, even in beer, actually, low calorie and low carb. Yeah. So it's a very common beer, which a lot of people were going for, right? Actually, and same way in the like the food also, low calorie, less calories, less carbs and high protein.
Yeah.
So that was one of the inspiration. Like, hey, listen, like there's a beer with low calorie and low carb. Why is there no beer with more protein? A great tasting beer with no protein. Actually, we found out that, hey, somebody should be having locally. We found nobody locally, nobody in the state, nobody in the country, nobody in the world had it. Like what's happening, actually? And like, yeah, like from a brewing perspective, it was virtually impossible, you know, because beer on day one is full of protein. But after the beer goes through the whole process of brewing and fermentation, actually, the finished beer has minimal protein, actually, right? Because protein is not stable in the beer application. That's why it comes off, actually, right, during the fermentation process. Actually, anyway, so like we're like, hey, so that explains as to why nobody has a beer with more protein. It's virtually like impossible. And then being the entrepreneurs we were, actually, we're like, hey, impossible sounds like I am possible, right?
Yeah.
We were like, yeah, like especially with the science background which we had, actually, we were like, yeah, we're going to make sure we are very confident that we can make the first beer with more protein, come what may, right? The question was, how do you make beer, though?
so
we're like, okay, yeah, okay. On that note, let's go and figure out how to make beer. So we learned how to make beer, and we bought a home brewing kit. And well, it was 2 a.m., 3 a.m. in the mornings. You know, like we would just keep brewing. So whenever we got time from our daily lives, we used to work in an orthopedic implant company. Yeah. You know, so we used to make spine implants. Me and Henry were both in product management, so we used to travel a lot for our business. Right. All over the world, we're traveling, and whenever we get a chance to be together, and we are here, oh, let's back in San Diego, then let's brew together, right? So yeah. Anyways, over the next couple of years, we figured out after 2 years of brewing different formulations and different trials, in 2013, we were able to make the first beer with more protein, which was shelf stable.
Okay.
And we're like, oh wow! So like, let's go and like, yeah. So at that moment, we quit our jobs, and we're like, so let's start this company, this brewery.
Wow.
And then we moved to Boston, to Boston. Yeah. Yeah. Henry's family is from Boston. So we can open our brewery anywhere we want to. So like we can brew, we spoke about every city in the country, Austin, right. Orlando, or Miami, or San Francisco, whatever. Yeah. So at the end, we shortlisted San Francisco and Boston, but then we chose to move to Boston because, you know, Boston is, and Henry's family is also from Boston. He grew up here. And you can imagine, actually, right? Like the family is the most important thing in life. If you can be close to family, then why not, right? My family is back in Delhi, India. So that'll be a long move. So we said, we couldn't move to Delhi. So we said, hey, how about if we move to Boston? Yeah, so we moved to Boston.
Wow. So you guys were home brewing for two years, it sounds like. And you were doing it in the middle of the night. You were still working both jobs. And those aren't just, it's not like you're a bartender or just working a part-time job somewhere. I mean, you're doing, you're in orthopedics. Like that's a pretty interesting job as it is. It's pretty time consuming.
Yeah, it was actually time consuming and a lot of travel too. Actually, we traveled quite a bit. So yeah, when we were not traveling and we were in the same city together in San Diego, right? Like, hey, let's do some. So Henry's Kitchen was our brewery. We would always go to Henry's Kitchen and he was my neighbor. So we had the same common wall. Exactly my neighbor. So he can literally knock on the common wall to, hey, could you call me over, you know? Yeah.
That's awesome. Normally I would ask, you know, at what point did you decide to, all right, like we got something here, like let's just go for it on our own. Do you guys have that moment? You said this beer is something that we enjoy. We think other people enjoy it. Like then you just decided to start your own brewery. I mean, that, you know, that's a pretty big jump from, you know, homebrewing to starting your own brewery.
Yeah, actually, I think the biggest goal was to figure out, actually, can we make a beer which is shelf-stable and clear? Because back, if you remember this 7 years back, now everybody wants to have a hazy beer, right? But yeah. 7, 8 years back, a hazy beer means beer is infected.
Yeah.
Right? It's a different time, actually, right? Back in 2011, 2012, actually, right?
So yeah,
goal was to make a crystal clear, great-tasting beer, which is shelf-stable. And protein industry had its own complexities and chemistry issues, you know. So anyways, when we made the beer, the first time we were trying to make a great-tasting beer, which is shelf-stable and clear. And the moment we made that beer, we're like, yeah, like there's time to go on and explore this full-time.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And this was supposed to be we knew it's going to be a high-risk and high-reward. Like, most likely it won't work. We knew this part. But if it does work out, actually, like then it could be a big fun opportunity, right? To go into a new space which has just never been done before, right? And also the key thing actually is that from a positioning perspective, you know, in a beer you can speak only about four things: calories, carbs, fat, and protein.
Yeah.
Like calories and carbs are 67-68% of market share.
Yeah.
Right. And fat is all beers have zero fat, so
right.
nobody's going to position the beer based on fat. So the last frontier was protein.
Interesting.
Yeah, especially the protein was the last from a nutrition position perspective. And besides nutrition, you cannot put anything else on a beer. You can put only the nutrition. You can't have any health claim, right, in a beer. But you can put, you're required to put nutrition, especially if you have any claim of low calorie or low carb, you're required to put nutrition. And those are the four things. So the frontier, protein was the last frontier. So if it worked out, right, it could be awesome, but we knew that most likely it's going to be a challenge, right?
Yeah.
But that's the fun part of entrepreneurship, right? Like if something is simple, then you don't want that part. You want to have something more challenging, right? So yeah, we tried that.
Yeah, and yeah, you just said what I was going to follow up with. You know, that's the thing about entrepreneurship, right? I mean, that's why there's not a lot of people that own businesses, and there's a lot of people that work for businesses. You know, entrepreneurship, it's go big or go home. You know, that's the risk. Yeah. Some people don't want to take the risk. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know, if you want to own your own business, there's going to be a lot of risks, and there's a reason why a lot of businesses don't survive. You know, it's you got to go in with the mentality that this is not going to be easy, and you need to have a work ethic like no other. You need to be able to work 16 plus hours a day to make sure it gets up and running before it's a smooth operation. It's not easy to start your own business.
It's not, actually. You're exactly right, actually. Like, it takes, even if you have a good idea or a bad idea, it doesn't matter, actually. Like, even if you're going to be successful or not, it doesn't matter. You have to put in 16 hours per day for a few years, for a week, not for 2 weeks.
Right.
And it's a commitment for a few years, actually. You have to keep it day in, day out. And there's no Sunday, there's no Monday. It's just all every day is the same day, right?
Yeah.
That's the story, actually. Yeah.
That's interesting. That's awesome, man. That's cool to see because, yeah, I mean, you're never going to create the perfect business right away. You got to focus on progress. You just got to continue to, you know, you start with the business, you don't know where to begin. You tackle what you think is the first few things. And then something comes up and you're like, oh shoot, I got to go do this now. And then it's just like, there's just a whole bunch of components that come with starting your own business. So I totally get it. So as far as the protein, I mean, that's interesting. I didn't know that. The protein in the beer, you know, can you give us an idea of how much protein, you know, for example, in the first beer that had more protein in it than other ones, or?
Yes, Steve, but again, we don't make them anymore, Steve. We just make them in the first couple. But actually, as a beer, we can make beer with with the science we have, actually, we can add whatever we want to add, whatever protein we can have, the level. We were trying to go for 5 grams of protein in each beer, but hey, that's history, actually, so that was, we tried that in the starting and did not work out, actually, right?
Right.
And then we're like, yeah, so what do we do now, actually? Should we persist with that part, or should we go for the traditional brewing approach and show our creativity? But the most important thing is that to be creative, actually. That was a driving factor, to show something, make some unique beers and unique fun beers, actually. And then, yeah, so it's sort of protein part. It was pretty hairy. We do more the protein part, actually. And then the beer behind you, which is Cloud Candy. Cloud Candy was the first beer which we released with a brand name in our portfolio.
Okay.
Because just non-protein beer, non-protein beer with the brand name, actually, right? And so we released that, actually, in December of 2017, on January of 2018. Yeah, December, January, we released that beer. And yeah, so since then, we have been making traditional beers. And as you know, actually, as you've seen in the last, but again, we were contract brewing. We didn't have our own brewery before, right? And the biggest thing which we found is, like, once you have your own brewery, you can be so much more creative, right? And
oh yeah,
and you can have so much more fun in terms of new beer styles or new recipes or whatever, right? So we decided to open our own brewery in the starting. And then we opened our brewery our brewery was launched in December of 2018. We launched the brewery. Yeah. So almost 1 year after the release of Cloud Candy, we had our own brewery in Waltham. And yeah, so it's been almost 2 years now, actually, right?
So there's a couple of follow-ups I have. So Cloud Candy, is that your most popular one? Because I mean, when I popped by the brewery and spoke to one of the tap managers, like the first thing I said was Cloud Candy. I think everybody just knows Cloud Candy. It's so good. Is that your most popular one? Or do you have another one that's more popular?
In terms of sales, yeah, by far. There's more than half our sales comes from that single unit, actually, right? And of course, we have other beers, some of them are even better reviewed than Cloud Candy, but it doesn't matter. Actually, Cloud Candy, actually, people love that brand. That beer is a very good, approachable, nice, enjoyable, quaffable beer.
The creativity is what I would love to get into is on a couple fronts. You know, how do you come up with different flavors to try? How do you come up with the names? I mean, Cloud Candy, you know, behind me, we got Spruce Hugger. You know, like, how do you come up with the certain names? Do you guys have just like a text chain going back and forth of different names to come up with and different ingredients to try? What's that thought process and the creativity behind all that?
Exactly. Well, the brand name, actually, you know, I think actually all our teammates, we have like more than 23 guys in our team actually right now, but everybody's like able to give the feedback. And we have separately, we also have the bartending team actually, and then that team also is involved. They also, so each time we have a new beer being released, all our teammates started to come with some unique fun names, and we see which one is the most, and then of course at the end we'll decide which is the most apt name, right? So it's an open process by which everybody is feeding in with different brand names. And then we decide at the end, the four of us who will get all the feedback, five of us actually will get all the feedback and go and make a decision from there as to, you know, like which brand name to go for. But the key thing is majority of the brand names are from our teammates. Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. Cause I think that's part of the fun of going to breweries too. Yeah? There's a whole bunch of different types of beer to try. There's as far as flavors, the names, let's be honest, the names are catchy. Cloud Candy is a catchy name. You know, one thing I love your opinion on is I'm the same. I like the craft beer. I don't like, let's just say, the common light beers. That's just not for me. What do you think the reason is that craft breweries have gotten so big over the last decade? You know, you made a comment earlier about like 2011, 2012 is when things started to get big. Why do you think it's gotten so big over the last decade versus before early 2000s?
Actually, I think there are a couple of main reasons. Of course, there are so many different reasons, but a couple of the main things which come to my mind actually is that, first of all, the beers are more flavorful. Actually, they are more bold and more flavorful beers which are being presented from craft breweries compared to a national chain like Budweiser, Miller Coors. And of course, the bigger chains happens to be more lagers, right? Yeah. And if you see majority of the craft breweries, I would say 98% craft breweries are primarily ales.
Okay.
And not lagers, actually. But of course, we have Jack Savvy out here, which I love so much, and they make amazing lagers. But again, the fact that a craft brewery is making a lager compared to a bigger boy, actually, I think you can see a difference in quality for sure. The small batch, you know, when you make a beer, it's a small batch. And that's part one, actually. And part two is the fact that people want to support the local. It's all about everything is getting hyper local.
Yeah.
So, actually, do you want to enjoy a beer which is made somewhere in Missouri or somewhere in New Hampshire compared to if I'm sitting in Waltham, actually, I want to be enjoying a beer which is made locally here, right? In the local state. So you're trying to get more local. And so those two are the biggest primary reasons as to why people are moving more towards craft beer. And also the fact that actually, you know, like, do you want to drink the same beer every time or do you want to have a variety of beers? If you see like for example, Mighty Squirrel Brewery, we have released close to like 50 beers in the last 1 year.
Wow.
So one beer every week.
Wow.
So and off late, it's been much more than one beer every week, actually. But that's the part. Craft beer is small. It's a small batch. I don't need to have a board of board members give approval and go through the whole studies and market research or whatever. It's more about you go with your heart as a brewer. Yeah. If you like something, of course, you don't give out trash. You give out good beers.
Right.
But you're more creative in terms of what you want to brew and how you want to brew it. Right. So yeah, people love that part. People love the fact that you know you're local. You're big, and the fact that you make nicer beers, which are more enjoyable, And the fact that you come up with new beers, new different beers every time. So they love it.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I think people enjoy going to breweries because they like the experience of trying, what is new? Like what creativity that these guys come up with this month that wasn't here last month. Like, let's try this. And who knows, like that, if you can make a small batch, and if one of them, you get a tremendous feedback on, it's like, all right, like we can go make this in a lot more bulk now. And, you know, maybe this would be a good one to carry going forward. I love the creativity behind it. I think that's one of the main reasons why people like craft beers now. And you brought up another point. People like to support local. I mean, that's part of the reason why I wanted to start this podcast is I'm new to the Metro West area. I moved to Framingham 2 years ago this month when everything happened with COVID, and I'm sure we'll get into COVID at some point. I thought of the idea back in January. And then when everything happened in March, I was like, you know what? Screw it. Like, I'm not a podcast host, but let's see what happens. Like, let's just like try to reach out to local business owners and promote them. You know, they're getting hit. They're not deserving of anything that they're getting hit by. But they have to figure out how to pivot. They need to figure out, you know, how else to market themselves. But at the same time, they get to abide by the guidelines and the laws, you know? So, I mean, I guess we can get into it now. And obviously COVID has impacted, especially the breweries and the restaurant industries more than, let's be honest, more than anything. You know, it's terrible that it's affected certain industries way more than others. But in what ways have you seen the local community come out and support you guys in response to this when you were finally able to open?
Yeah, especially the COVID, as you mentioned, too, has been tough, actually. You know, like, we can speak about the whole impact on the whole, not only our industry but every industry, right? Actually, but what we are finding out, actually, is that the support from local support, like actually yours, you're doing your best. Yep. You're doing your best to help promote our business or the business of other local restaurant or other brewery, actually. So that support, which has been there from people like you and also like general customers, actually, they're coming in helping us out. Actually, like, they know that we can't open the brewery anymore. So they're like, wait, can we help you out by buying beers from you?
Right.
And they will come and pick up the beers from us, from our brewery, actually. So, actually, so we are just amazed to see the support which we are getting from everybody around us right now, actually, like, in this tough time. And that goes back to what we were discussing before, actually, like, what is craft beer? What is craft beer? Actually, is like, why is it doing well over the last couple of decades? It's because the support, the local support, people want to support local things, right? People want to support the local businesses. And in this COVID, if this COVID had come 25, 30 years back, actually, right, when craft brewing was not going so strong, actually, at that time, the craft breweries will not be surviving, actually. But right now, also, like, it's tough. But the reason why quite a few of them are able to survive right now in this pandemic is because of the support from locals.
Yeah, totally agree. How have you guys pivoted, right? Like, obviously, we talked about earlier, you have the beer garden, and I'm newer to the area. So was the beer garden there before this, or is that something that you just completely created when everything happened?
Yeah, so actually, on the first week of June, actually, when Governor Baker came and said, actually, yeah, like, you can, before that, we had no beer garden. We had patios, and we have our space indoors, right? But we didn't have a beer garden. But actually, on the first week of June, Governor Baker came and said that restaurants and breweries can use the space outside because in this pandemic, people want to be outdoors, possible, right? And so, yeah, so actually, then we were like, and we had this parking lot, and we were like, and plus the good thing is we are in a business park. So altogether, we have around 1,000 parking spots.
Wow. Yeah, that's great.
So, like, more than that, actually. I'm like, it's more than 1,000 spots we have, actually. But in front of our brewery, on the side, we had a smaller parking spot, too. Parking lot we had, actually, and we're like, hey, can we convert the small parking lot, which is right adjacent to our brewery, into a beer garden, actually? And yeah, that was the sort of process, actually. And then we spoke to the commissioner and the mayor here, and we got the approvals from everybody to open that, and we opened that in July then. So yeah, that was the one. And you were asking us to look about the other impact of actually, when COVID, the biggest actually thing which happened with the COVID actually is that, like, a lot of, it's just been very painful for a lot of breweries actually. If you think about, a majority of the breweries are not huge giant breweries, right? They're like smaller breweries, actually, the small neighborhood breweries actually, and they make small scale batches.
Right.
And if you see, actually, like, a majority of the, not the thing is not just about a sale, it's about the profits. Because profits is what actually, one thing is revenue, the other is profit, right?
Yeah.
So actually, they can have revenue from distribution, and they can have, if they have the canning line, if they have revenue from distribution, they can have revenue from tap room. They own tap room, when people come and consume the beers on site, right?
Yeah.
But those two could be equal revenues, but profits are day and night differences. Like you can have 7 to 8 times more profit by selling a beer when people are consuming the beer on a pint on your establishment compared to someone buying your beer in a can from a store. This is a day and night difference,
yeah, right?
So that has been the most painful point, actually, when back in March, when the announcement came, and the announcement was for the right reason, actually, that we should shut down all the establishments, all bars and restaurants and breweries. Yeah, that's when the most painful part, actually, that what do we do now, actually, the biggest source of our profits and the revenues too, actually, is on-premise part, which is shut down now. So what do we do now? So that was the most painful part, actually, and I'm glad that later, like we opened up in June they announced. But yeah, so that was the term. Then, of course, from March till June, what was brewers depending upon? They were depending only upon some sales coming from distribution.
Yeah.
Or some people coming and buying the beers to go, right?
Yeah.
And of course, then there were some brewers who did not have any canning line. That's the other part.
Yeah. Wow.
So how do they have beers to go then, right?
Yeah.
That's a tough part. And the other part is going to be in distribution. If you see on average, 35 to 40% of the sales of smaller breweries in distribution comes from the on-premise accounts, which is bars and restaurants. But bars and restaurants are shut down now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is the triple whammy right now. So this was tough. You know, it was tough. In our case, actually, like we were also affected, but luckily we had a canning line. We already had a canning line in place. We have been canning for the last 1 year in our facility, actually. And plus there was a lot of pent up demand for our beers, actually, right? Like we were not able to make enough beer ever since the day of the launch of Cloud Candy, which is right behind you.
Yeah.
We launched that in Jan 2018. We launched and we are in September, October, right? We're in October 2020, actually, right?
Yeah.
And we have still not been able to come in. From that day for the last 2.5 years, we have been out of stock every day, every week. We're not able to make enough beers.
Wow.
We're not able to make enough beers right now. So of course, when they were to shut down, we lost the biggest profitable part of on-premise business.
Right.
We lost that. But luckily, we were able to count on distribution. And even though the bars and restaurants which buy our beer are not there anymore, but the stores which were there, there was quite a bit of pent up demand for our beers. So we were able to keep selling beers in those stores.
The government allowed everybody to start opening in June. You guys decided to wait a month in July. What was the thought process behind that?
Actually, in our case, we said we want to spend more time. Actually, we want to do like it's not about rushing into things. It's more about planning your work, actually, right? And the biggest vision we had actually was to make sure that people are able to come and enjoy the place in a safe manner, right? Actually, safe and beautiful. It should be safe. Mm-hmm. So instead of just taking the chairs and tables and instead of putting them on the parking lot, we said actually we'll take some time and design the space well. So we got this what they call rolling turf from Georgia. And we got put a lot of plants there and then put a nice fence, which you saw actually. So it took us one extra month to get that all together. So actually, even though we lost some opportunity of sales actually out there, but I think it's most important in this pandemic is to do it right, do the right thing, right?
Yep.
Because that goes a long way actually, right? So we spent extra 1 month. And we were one of the last ones to open up
the
market. But I think the wait was worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the place, like I said, when we first hopped on, I mean, it's gorgeous. Like it's a really cool place to hang out at. Like it's very good atmosphere. Everything looks great. It's well done. And to your point, you know, you want to make sure it's safe. I mean, you could rush just to get people out there, but at the end of the day, if it's not safe and if something happens in the first week, you shut down again anyways, and it wasn't even worth the rush. So, yeah.
It's safe and beautiful, actually. And then it's both. You can have safe, actually, by just putting the chairs on the whole parking lot far away, actually. But we're trying to make sure, craft beer is beautiful and romantic, right? Actually, you want to be able to come and feel the, you want to be there, not just because they're giving beer. You're feeling safe, but at the same time, you're enjoying the space, right? It's going to be beautiful. Yep. That was our philosophy, yeah.
Yep. So what I would love to ask Naveen is when you and Henry first started the business, what are some early successes that you two had where you knew you were onto something? And what are some of the early challenges that were a tough pills to swallow when you first started your own business?
Actually, well, the starting was all more challenging than what we had envisioned, you know, like, especially because we had a unique beer which has never been done before, right?
Yeah.
That was the biggest snack. Like, first was, how do you make a beer like that, actually, right? So it took us 2 years to make it happen, right? But then the question is, how would to sell this thing now,
yeah, right?
People have never bought this kind of beer before, actually, right? Actually, and how do we go and get the point across, you know? To give you some idea, like, light beers actually are a big part of the market share, like 60% market share is light beer, right? But they were released, the first time they were released in World War II in 1941. They were released originally, right? From 1941 till 1973, they sold 10 beers maybe. They didn't sell any beer actually, right? They were there for 30 years in the market. There were 30 years they were in the market, right? And nobody bought the beer.
Wow.
But then Philip Morris came by actually, and he was like, you know what, I'm going to have this beer being... And then he brought the NFL players and he made them sit on a, what you call, on a table and say, you know what, great tasting and less filling, right?
Yeah.
And that from 30 years, they had nothing actually. But a few things click sometimes, right? Especially in our case, so we knew that most likely it won't work out, but how can we make it work? Right? But it's the fun part about trying new things. So we had a lot of challenges. And the biggest thing actually was, in retrospect, we figured out actually, is that we didn't have our own brewery. We had no brewery issue, right? We were sitting in, we only had a beer, and when without being able to be in touch with people, actually, and face having a platform where customers can come and face us, it's tough, especially in the craft beer category, you know.
Sure.
So yeah, a lot of challenges actually, and the positives were actually, when we spoke individually to some people, they loved it, right? But again, the biggest, the hairy part was, if you can't go and talk to all the million people who are trying to buy a beer, right?
Right.
It's not feasible. It's not possible, actually, right? And so there was a lot of challenge on that part, actually. And after that, now we're trying to, what we call, create a brewery now. We're like, you know what, we're trying to go and make traditional beers now. Afterwards, 2 years we tried for sport beers, the high protein beers for sport beers, and we tried and did not work out. What do we do now, Shirik? Should we now, let's go and try to make a traditional beer now, right? Which is, and have a brand name, which was happened to be Cloud Candy, right?
Yeah.
First beer, the very first PhD. And, but again, the question was, there was a lot of question from the, it's not easy because there's so many players in the market right now. There's so many breweries.
Right.
There are 8,000 breweries actually, and they all are selling. Each brewery has 10 different beer styles. So there are 80,000 beers available right there in the market. And then where do we find a way to come in, right? So there was a challenging part actually. But again, we had the conviction. Hey, listen, we had the passion. We had half glass full mentality and approach. Yeah. And we're like, yeah, like, let's make, if we make the best liquid actually, and we should give it out, and hopefully people will like it.
Actually. Right.
And the feedback has been tremendous. Actually, since we have done that part, actually, we have gone, the numbers speak, actually. That's what has happened to our brand since the launch.
Yeah. And, you know, with so many breweries out there, it's so difficult for people to find that new brewery and a new flavor they like. How do you guys go about marketing yourselves to, you know, get some shares of the market? Like, what are some marketing strategies you found successful? What did you find that, you know, weren't so successful? How do you guys go about it?
Well, that's an interesting question. In terms of marketing, actually, like, if you see the majority of the craft breweries, we don't believe that much in not that much in traditional market. We don't believe in that part. It's more about, actually, you make the best liquid. Actually, you make the best liquid, and you have, and then you connect with the local audience by face to face, like the way we're doing right now, actually, or maybe when they come over to our tap room, actually, right? Or it's more about the organic approach, which is being used in craft beer.
Yeah.
Unlike the bigger breweries or unlike other industries, craft beer actually is the best marketing is organic, word of mouth. Word of mouth is the best approach we have. Actually, what we go and post on social media, that's been one of our biggest, that could be a big marketing tool, actually, right? Like, what we post on our Instagram channel, what we post on our Facebook, and when people respond to us, how do we respond back to them, right?
Yep.
And how do we get the point across, how do we communicate with them, actually? So that could be the best way to say marketing and craft beer, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you guys are very active on your Instagram account. I mean, that's how we connected, right? I mean,
yeah,
that's exactly how we connected. And, you know, social media is, it's a huge platform these days, no matter which, some platforms are better than others for different businesses. But yeah, as far as the craft brewery industry, I'd say Instagram is a very good platform for you guys. And you guys have market yourselves very well on it. A lot of stories, a lot of posts. And, you know, if you got something new or something old, people just like seeing a new creative beer on there. You know, it drives the interest and drives people to come by.
Exactly. Make good liquid and communicate to the audience that you are making this new or this creative beer, actually. And of course, some people would say, I don't care about that beer style, but at the same time, some people are like, oh, I love that beer style. I want to go and try that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, absolutely. I mean, there's so many different types of beer. I'm a big stout guy. So anytime I see a new stout advertised anywhere on any social media platform, like, I got to go try this. Like, I love a new stout. I love the heavy ones. I'm like a 10% or higher ABV. Like, I'm
Imperial.
Yeah.
Imperial stouts.
Yep. Yeah. I'm just a big stout guy. So anytime I see something like that, I'm in it. And my buddy, a buddy of mine, he is huge into hazy beers. The hazier, the better for him. He loves them. So like anytime he sees something, he just tags me in it. I mean, it's, you know, it's like just throwing out different kinds of beers that you have. And, you know, within Mighty Squirrel is huge because you never know which person is going to be attracted to that type of flavor. And then they're going to come by and check it out. It's huge.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the most important thing from a portfolio perspective. I know that a lot of some breweries can choose to focus only on hoppy beers, or some breweries can choose to focus only on lagers or only on stout. But from our perspective, I think our vision was to make the, there's so many different styles which we have still not explored completely yet, right? But yeah, we're like, yeah, let's go out, let's explore. As a craft brewery, that's the most beautiful thing. We're small. The good thing and the bad thing, we're small. We can pivot so easily. We can make one new batch so easily. You see the beer behind you, the salt of the earth. It's a beautiful Gosa, let's make a Gosa, right? And the other one is going to be a Guava Land, like sour double IPA, right? Sour face, is there. And then you have maybe we believe in making the whole variety. But trust me, some people who don't care about salt of the earth, they don't care about the Gosa, but at the same time, they like the stout, which you make, right? Some guys don't like the stout, but they love the sours, which you make, And that's the one thing which we have found the most amazing thing, is the sours. People have been loving the sours, and it's so much fun, and it's so much fun to be creative with the sour, especially with the fruity sours. You can see that they have quite a bit of, especially in summertime, it's absolutely delightful to enjoy fruity sour, with the sun coming down on you, right? It's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, this summer, truthfully, I didn't really have too many sours before this summer. And this summer specifically, I had a lot of sour beers. I had a Cloud Candy, and I forget which sour it was, but when we were there last month or maybe late August, I had a sour and a Cloud Candy. I forget which sour it was, but that I went to it. It's, you know, it's a summer night, and it's enjoyable to have a sour beer on a summer night. I enjoyed them tremendously this year. So totally agree.
There we go.
Totally agree.
And especially after, we also begin running here. So we go for a long run. After long run, I think they're having a sour beer or having a salt of the earth, which is Gosa. It's fun. It's so much more thirst quenching and more delicious after a long run.
That's good. And I haven't had the salt of the earth yet, so I've been patiently waiting until we finish this episode to try one.
Well, actually, after that, if possible, go for a quick small run and you'll enjoy it even better.
All right, noted. I'll definitely do that. We talked a lot about the business, right? So outside of work, we know you're a business owner, you work probably 27 hours a day, but outside of work, what are some of the, the personal hobbies that you enjoy doing when you're not, in the business?
Actually, I think the two top most things is going to be one is going to be spending time with family and friend and good friends. It seems, especially in the last few years, it was getting shrinking, things were not working out so well, and we were just spending 15 hours per day, every day, for the whole week, for the whole month, for the whole year, right? It's only so much time we're able to spend with friends and family. So I'm trying to focus, which I enjoy the most, is to spend more time with friends and family. And the other one is going to be running part. I love running. I got slightly disengaged from running. Back in 2015, I had an accident. And I was in coma for 19 days.
Whoa.
I was running in the morning with Henry, he's my co-founder. He hit me. So he was running with me, and a car hit me in the crosswalk. Actually, you know, and he came back from Delhi, and so this year, actually, I'm like back to running. Actually, you know, I just did my first Boston virtual marathon just few weeks back.
Yeah, oh, get so out!
So back in running history and enjoying the running part. Enjoying running and spending time with friends and family and seeing places. Actually, you know, like haven't had a chance to go even to Maine or to New Hampshire for the last 7 years I've been here. Can you imagine that? My wife and I were like, let's go and check out. We went to what I call to New Hampshire. So it was 1 hour drive, right? but we had never had a chance. There was so much of work going on, right? But now we're so we're trying to spend more time with friends and family.
Yeah.
And spending, me and Henry were always actually working, but before we were working together on the business, we were very good friends before, right? But after the business part, we're not able to spend some time away from the business part, actually, right? And now we're trying to see as to how we can spend more time away from the business as a friends and family.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a crazy story about you getting hit in the coma. It's good to hear that you're able to go back out and running and get to enjoy it. That's crazy.
It was induced coma, actually. Like, I had brain injuries, actually, so it was induced coma. And within a couple of months, I was able to learn how to walk back again, right? So you can go back to life, you know?
Yeah.
But lucky, you know, like everything is in good shape, hands, legs, everything is great now, you know?
That's great, man. That's great to hear. Damn, that's crazy.
The only thing which I've lost is that with the brain injury, is that I can't smell things anymore.
Oh, no way.
And being a brewer, it's not easy. Coffee, you're a smell, the majority of a taste profile comes from a nose, you know, actually, you smell things. So Henry is very good in that part.
Yeah.
So it's perfect. You know? So Henry is awesome. And I'm like, you know, so when we speak, I'm like, Henry, how's the beast? How's the beer looks like, smell like, you know? So yeah. Our brewing team is awesome. Nick and Mike and of course the selling team and everybody. So we have a good team. They all can smell. So I'm the only one who can't smell.
Oh, unbelievable. That's crazy. Okay. Well, like I said, we talked a lot about work. I like learning more about the individual themselves. So you're an adult now, you've run a business for a while, you know, but if you could go back and tell your 18-year-old self one thing, what would you tell yourself?
Ah, interesting. Not in a bad way, but I won't change a thing, actually. I knew that I want to be, when I was growing up, actually, until I was 16, I was like, I want to be in the best college. And once I got in the best college, then I knew that I want to be an entrepreneur, actually. And yeah, so actually, I don't know what I would, God has been very graceful, actually. It's been things have worked out, actually, as I've grown up in my life. Actually, things I've been very lucky to have my family, to have my wife, and to have my friends, and to work with Henry. Henry's my co-founder. To work with him, actually, I think things have been very lucky. So, frankly,
that's a great answer. You know, because if you went back and told your 18-year-old self something, who knows how it would have changed the trajectory that you currently ended up at, right?
Exactly. I think of course, when I was 18, I was like, am I doing the best thing? There were some questions, actually, right? But as life has progressed, and a lot of those things which I was not able to understand or appreciate the value at that moment, I'm able to come back. And as I'm later in the life, I'm like, oh, wow. So I'm glad I did that. I'm glad I did this, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. No, that's a great answer. That's a great answer. So last question, I ask every single guest this question. 2020, hopefully, is just an anomaly, right? So 2020 excluded, I guess. But in any given year, everyone has a varying depiction of success, right? So like, how would you define success for yourself? I guess maybe this year and just in life in general.
Success, actually, I think the best way to say it is that is my team, like the team which we work with, actually, are they enjoying it? And is the audience which we make product for, which our beers. Are they enjoying it? Actually, I think if they have that's I think that would be the biggest metric for me personally. The happiness of our teammates. They're enjoying what they're doing, and they're able to make a meaningful living from what they're doing, right? And they're able to pay the mortgage, they're able to pay the car, they're able to pay the kids, actually. They're enjoying that part, right? And at the same time, the customers, actually, right? And then the both are interlinked, right? If customers are not enjoying what they're doing, then our team won't be enjoying it, right?
Right.
If the team is not enjoying what they're doing, the customers won't enjoy the product, right? So, So then I think the happiness, the HQ, the happiness quotient for our team and for our customers is the biggest metric for me to define success.
That's awesome, man. I think that's a great answer. That's a great answer. That's a great way to end it. Thank you for being a part of the podcast, Boston's Best and Metro West. This was phenomenal having you guys on. Mighty Squirrel makes a lot of great beers. And as soon as I was there, I just had to reach out. So I'm very, very thankful for you coming on and appreciate the time.
And from my side, actually, I want to say thank you for having us, Steve, on your podcast. Really appreciate that part, actually. And the only sad part right now, Steve, is that we are doing this through Zoom right now.
Yeah.
But hopefully things will get better, Shri. And when pandemic is over, Shri, would love to have you, like whenever you're coming over, Shri, to have a beer with us in person in our beer garden. Would love to have you over.
Absolutely, man. I'll be by for sure I'll be by for sure in November. I can tell you that much.
Here we go. Awesome. Thank you so much, Mark. I appreciate that. Take care.
All right, Naveen. I'll talk to you soon. Hey, everyone. I just want to say thank you for checking out my podcast. I really do appreciate the love I've received for this show. I believe now more than ever, any exposure to local businesses is great for them to receive, and I'm trying to do my part. If you are a local business owner or someone you know in the Metro West area that would like to be featured on the podcast, please email me at bbmwpodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoyed the episode, please follow this podcast. It's available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/BBMW podcast, as well as Instagram with the handle @BBMW_podcast. Again, I truly appreciate the great feedback for the show, and stay tuned for each new episode every Friday at 8 a.m. Take care.